Are we doing well this morning?
Yes.
Yes, I believe you. You guys seem very energetic. You seem like you are hungry to absorb the Word of God and to have the Lord move on your hearts in a profound way that is going to play itself out through evidence in your transformed lives from this moment forward.
Amen.
Amen. That was the feeling I was getting. Does that seem about right? Was I kind of diagnosing that correctly? It was a mouthful. I'm sure that was pretty much what you guys were thinking. But I feel like you're ready to engage. You're ready to kind of see what the Lord has for us today. And be honest with you, so am I. So imagine, if you will, a church. What's the first thing that came to your mind? Probably like some little white building with a steeple somewhere, right? Anyone have one of those pictures come into your mind? Now imagine, if you will, a church. Imagine, if you will, a church that walks consistently in victory. Imagine, if you would, a people of God who continually pursue the things of God. Imagine, if you will, a church that is in the world but not of the world. A church that isn't secluded to four walls and doesn't run away and hide, but a church that also is not antagonistic and mean, a church that is transparent, but a church that's victorious, a church that engages the culture around it, a church that is leaving the fingerprints of Jesus everywhere it goes, a church that is not having its head in the sand about hard things in life and not just pretending, oh, I've got my Jesus, so we're just, everything's good, right? It's all good. It's good. It's good. I'm good. You're good. We're all good. It's good, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes life is hard. Stephen, I feel like some people didn't know that. Sometimes life is difficult, and we can choose to approach that in a couple different ways, and most often one of the ways that we do is through emotional response and control. We try to control the things that makes life hard. We try to eliminate them and delete them and erase them and change them and get them out of the way. And often we can't do that. Often we can't do that. And so we expend all this energy trying to do that. But imagine if we could, or we ignore it, right? We medicate on something. Some kind of substance, some kind of activity, some kind of relationship, some kind of something. Imagine if we were honest about that. Imagine a church that is honest that, you know what, there's a dumb devil running around and dumb people running, right? Myself often is the main one, doing dumb things that makes life tough. And sometimes there's just things that just are out of our control that are hard to handle. Imagine if we could be honest about that yet walk in victory. Walk as a thriving body. Walk as a body engaged and filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God, ministering to one another and touching the world around us. Does that not sound like a great experience of a church? That's a church that I want to be a part of. And one of the ways that that is going to happen, we've spent time in quarantine, but previous to that, we talked about for a while about spiritual senses. And you remember that sense of touch, kind of sensing God's presence and his nudges? You know, we talked about our, you know, appetites, hunger, taste, you know. Talked about how often the church isn't hungry for God because we're too full of everything else, right? Talked about spiritual sight, which is real quickly hit sight and hearing. And one of the ways that is going to hinder that vision of this glorious church is for us to be continually consuming information from the world around us from our physical senses. If everything we consume is, oh, did you hear that's going on? Oh, I see this is happening. Oh, they're doing that now. And everything is happening on a carnal level, on a physical level. I'm just constantly analyzing the world around me and taking in all this input from my ears and from my eyes and from my physical senses and processing it with my carnal mind, I am never going to walk victorious. That's why we're talking about this. We want to see a church that's thriving. And yet, we can't just say, oh, I'm just living by my spiritual senses, and we just traipse away to a little corner of the universe, and we just said, "And I'm not looking at anything. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not hearing anything. Shh." Right? Because that's the other extreme. We'll pull back and we'll run away, and now I'm, all of the giftings inside of me are going to waste. All of the mission for my life is going to waste. I'm not influencing anybody. I'm not sharing the gospel. I'm not touching people's lives. I'm not out in the world changing, being part of the change, right? So I can either be overwhelmed, or I can use with my physical senses, or I can use my spiritual senses and hide away in a corner. And neither of those are victorious. Neither of those are engaging. Neither of those are bringing kingdom. So we're called to bring kingdom. We're called to bring kingdom. And one of the ways that we cannot do that is just rely on what we think and see and hear and smell and taste and touch and then process that inside my own head and heart and go, yep, that's what we should do, because we're always going to be reacting. We're always going to be overwhelmed. Guys, we're always going to be discouraged. We're always going to be hopeless. We're always going to be angry. We're always going to be just ruffled. Anyone ever been ruffled lately? Husbands, nudge your wife. I'm just kidding. But when we use our, I hit this point in my last message, and I just went really quickly through it, or a couple messages ago. But it's when we take that input in, okay, physically, with our natural, because we can't just be oblivious to the world around us. So we can't just deny that bad things are happening, or that life is hard, or that I'm going through a rough time right now. So we take that, but we take it as a small part of the bigger picture. So that's kind of what we hit last time or a couple times ago, is that our physical senses are included in this, but it's just part. And when I let my natural mind and my natural senses really dictate kind of the narrative, the storyline, we start acting and reacting and basing our decisions on that storyline. And we've completely missed God's storyline in all this. So we need to heighten our spiritual senses, because they're the bigger part of the equation. They need to be the larger part of the equation. So we're contrasting this carnal versus spiritual, and all of this is in pursuit of discernment and maturity, kind of this growing up and being discerning, so that we don't think that we're making a good decision, but it ends up being bad. And that's the, we're really feeling as a leadership team that discernment is so necessary right now, because there's so many loud voices. And if you listen for a few seconds, the Bible tells you that when one person presents an argument, it seems right. Until the next person presents their argument, then they seem right. That's in Proverbs. And it's so true. You can get pulled and swayed and on a variety of issues. And so we want discernment so that we can hear what the voice of the Lord is saying. And so today we're talking about discernment and wisdom. And Paul happened to, I actually went to 1 Corinthians 2. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the Bible today. Normally I've got lots of verses and they're kind of all over the place. That's why I love slides, because I usually use a lot of verses. And so it's easier, so not everybody's having to turn. I also know the downfall of that is then often you guys don't look it up in your Bibles. And you need to be looking it up in your Bibles. Stephen will preach that until the sun goes down and comes back up again, right? And so today, I started in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and so that's where we were going to start off at, and just found out that Paul ended up writing almost two whole chapters. So I should not apologize for reading too much scripture, but we're reading a lot of scripture today, so just let this just kind of stir in your spirit. And he happened to write a lot about worldly and spiritual. And it's all right in this same section. So I kept backing up, and I'm like, oh, well, I can't skip that verse. And I kept backing up. Oh, I can't skip that, because that sets the stage for that. So we're just going to start, and we're going to go through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now that we're in, we're about halfway through that chapter. This letter is written to the church in Corinth. And Paul starts out in this section by saying this: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Have you guys ever known anybody, especially lately, that would say that you're foolish for walking with God? That would call you, that would call Christianity foolish. Unfortunately, we've been in youth ministry for a long time. We've had contact with just hundreds of kids over the years. And lately, I've noticed a number of those kids that have either we've known either one way or another, or they would come to youth parties once in a while, or, you know, and they're a little older now, and posting stuff just really attacking Christianity. And I'm like, oh, that just makes my heart sad. And just really mocking and just kind of throwing stuff out like that. And so it's just hard to see some of that. But I promise you, if you're a Christian for very long and you don't keep that to yourself, if you let anybody know, which you need to be letting people know, that you love Jesus and are following him as a disciple of Christ, you are going to run into someone or a lot of someones that think that the message of Christianity is foolishness. And we were certainly in this metropolis. If you think about Corinth, kind of think about New York and Las Vegas kind of blended together. I mean, it was... industrial, it was full of sexuality and party. It was party city. What happens in Corinth stays in, well, it doesn't stay in Corinth. Actually, it's spread everywhere. But it was a nasty city, and it was huge. And so these people in Corinth were thinking that this message of the cross was ridiculous. It was foolishness. And Paul is coming and trying to present the gospel. So he's writing this to the church, and he's writing it kind of as a safeguard. So here's what he's saying is the cross, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. The message of the cross. I love that in our God moments this morning, we were hearing about the cross. We were hearing about this message of me dying, me denying myself is somehow power. How can that message, like when you read your Bibles, if you read them slow enough, you're going to end up with way more questions than you've ever had before. If you read them fast, you're going to get your box checked. But if you read them slow, you're going to absorb some of this and meditate on it, and you're going to say, wait a minute. And so we find that how is it the power of God? But it's foolishness to those who are perishing. And Paul is saying there's a temptation for the message of Christianity, not the cross, but for the message of Christianity to be like the world plus, right? It can be like, here's some good, if you're a Christian, here's some good thing. Here, in order to be a Christian, believe some good things. Right? Here's what you need to do. There's this system of living called Christianity that you can kind of do good things and think good things and be good things. And like, that's going to kind of lead you to a thriving, successful life. That's a half truth because there's some truth in there. What Paul is saying is it's foolishness to people that are perishing. And you're going to see that this kind of thought played out a few more times as Paul is writing here. So we're just talking about it a little early. But this idea that you're not just tacking on some good behavior onto the world's wisdom. So you're going to see contrasted the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. The world's wisdom and God's wisdom. And so that's what he's saying here. We're just starting this section off by just saying, you know what? This is lunacy. It's idiotic. The cross, like really, in that time, the cross was still being used to kill people. So our message this morning is about the electric chair. It's about power of lethal injection. That's what they were hearing. The people of Corinth would have heard that because that was a viable means of capital punishment that was still happening when this was written. It was silly for them to hear, I'm going to believe in the electric chair and then I'm going to have eternal life. You guys are a bunch of losers, right? And Paul is just starting out saying, no, this means of death and agony and torture, that this electric chair, this lethal injection, this capital punishment, this message, it's the message of Jesus. And it's the message of his death on the cross, and now we're to identify with that. So we're going to keep moving through a bunch more verses, but just wanted to set the stage by saying it's not just the world plus. It's a whole new whole new thing. He goes into a little more here, verses 20 and 21. He says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. What he's trying to say is, the world has an idea, ideas. It has wisdom about how things should be done. And what you're going to find, Paul is cluing them in to Christianity is going to run cross-grain to the world's wisdom. Christianity is going to be an affront to the world's wisdom. And so you're going to find people that are wise by worldly standards, and you're going to come with the message of the cross, and they're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. And so Paul is just opening this up that Jesus didn't come to kind of like be the best person. He didn't take all of the worldly systems and then kind of cobble them together and say, I'm going to do these the best. And then you can follow me because I'm kind of like a guru in this. Jesus brought a brand new way of seeing things, a brand new way of doing things, a brand new way of thinking about things, and it looks like stupidity to the world. And so he goes on and on talking about how this is so hard because the wisdom of the world very quickly is going to end up running headlong into the wisdom of God, and they're going to be opposite. And that's what's hard for us. So we'll talk about that in just a second, but Jews demand, we're keeping on going in 1 Corinthians, Jews demand sign and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you don't let some of this sink in, it just seems like, okay, what are you talking about, Paul? So I get it. We're running through this quickly, but he's just making the point. He's just driving the case home that, like, Paul is saying we need to settle this first, and then we're going to go on to some really cool stuff. But he just keeps coming back to, you can't keep thinking like the wisdom of the world and then think God's system is going to overlay over top of that, is what he's ultimately getting at. We haven't quite got to that yet, but that's what he's saying. He's like, you can't take a world system. You can't take a world way of thinking. You can't take the wisdom of what people think is popular and is good to do right now and then just inject Jesus into the middle of that because it's brand new. Christ, the crucified Christ, the cross that calls me to die, that's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is becoming that for us. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Still finishing up chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He's just continuing on that same theme. He's saying, you know what? This access to God, it's not for the nobles and the elite class, even though it's for all who would call on his name. They are included in that. But you don't get to Jesus by a pedigree. You don't get to Jesus by a resume. You don't get to Jesus by what letters are after your name. You don't get to Jesus by what your last name is. You don't come to relationship with God by being one of the wise things of the world, one of the high up, one of the elites, one of the mighty, one of the knowledgeable ones. And it was so common to want to just to layer Jesus onto kind of the cool way of doing life. And Paul is just again and again and again and again saying, no, it's brand new. Now, you guys think that we're talking about a church in Corinth here, and we are. But we're talking about this church. We're talking about me. We're talking about you. That it seems so great to add Jesus into my life. And yet I still have the same thinking as the world. I still have the same system as the world. I still have the same method of operation as the world. And as I said earlier, I'm not talking about running away and hiding. I'm talking about being fully engaged and immersed in our world, but not being of it. And that's the part. It's the not being of it. It's the dramatic contrast of the Sermon on the Mount, of the way of seeing people, of the way of seeing forgiveness, of the way of walking through life, of the way of doing family, of the way of doing relationships, of the way of doing worship. And it's not just kind of adding on to the world system. And I think that's so often why we struggle in our Christianity at being really effective and thriving, is because we want to continue to just, we love Jesus, and we really do, and we just want to add him into, instead of Paul saying, guys, if you for one second get the real message here, you're going to agree, this is crazy, but we're being saved. And so we understand it's the power of God. It's the power of God. All right, last verse in chapter 1, I think this is, or maybe there's one more. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one should boast before him. No one gets bragging rights in this, right? What's that saying or that song? It's all level ground at the foot of the cross or whatever. We all start at the same place. Extreme deficit. No hope, right? It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. See, he says it again. Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. All right, all of that is set up now for chapter 2. Okay? Great how Paul did that. Now we start in chapter 2. Paul is telling, he said, all right, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. Say human wisdom. Human wisdom. I didn't show up with lots of fancy words. I didn't come up before you with lots of really cool preaching. And I love really cool preaching, and I know you guys do too. But Paul said, I didn't show up that way, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Paul is saying, I made a decision. When I came to you, I made a choice. I had at my access all kinds of tools that I could minister to you with. And when I showed up to you guys, I made a conscious choice that either God shows up or this whole thing isn't working. I made a choice. I determined in my heart that I was going to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Is that all that Paul knew? Of course not. He was a Pharisee. He was educated, right? And part of their training is Old Testament. I don't know about you or not, but whether you're a Pharisee or whether you're a believer or whether you're an atheist, the Old Testament's still a part of the Word of God. So even before Jesus, he had understanding, that's not the right word, but he was able to pull out the scriptures. He knew what the scriptures said. And yet, while he was with them, and in other places, he used other tools. But in this church, he said, all right, we're going to show up. And if God doesn't show up, then we're all in trouble. And so that's what he started with. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So that you might not be tricked, even when I'm talking with fancy words. And Paul had fancy words, and they were good, and he used them in other places, right? But he said, in this moment, I have to be convinced that your faith is going to rest in the power of God and not in human wisdom, because you guys are so tempted to add Jesus. Jesus into the world system, that I've got to make a clean break and I've got to show you that this is either God or it's nothing. It's either the power of God or it's nothing at all, because God is wisdom and power for us in this moment. And Paul wanted to make sure we just, our cry lately has been, we prayed for our kids lately. We haven't talked about it in the last week or two. But just our heart has just been burning that our kids, that our church, but that our kids especially have God encounters. We want to see this be a place of God encounters. We want to see your homes be places of God encounters. We want to see where you work be places of God encounters. We want to see the power of the Spirit show up in unprecedented ways. That's been the cry of our heart, and it continues to be the cry of our heart, because we know that there are so many words right now. There's so many words. People, shut up. Oh, gee. Oh. There's 50 million. There's eight. Well, they say it on Praise FM all the time. You guys have probably heard it. How many podcasts is there right now? They talk about it all the time. It's like 890,000 or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys have heard that before, but I just heard it on there, so that's, I'm just regurgitating that. That's just podcasts, for crying out loud. And I love content. We love learning, and we watch stuff all the time, but there are so many voices. And in this moment, I want to rely on the power of God. I want God encounters. I don't want just fancy words. I don't want just human wisdom. I want God wisdom. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And Paul was saying, I want to be convinced that your experience with God and the found of the place where your faith settles down and lays upon, the foundation, the final resting spot, the place where it lands, where we're going to stand, that place where the faith stops is on the power of God. It's on his ability to move. It's on his ability to set people free. It's on his ability to break the chains. God is the chain breaker. He's the one that sets hearts free. He's the one that breaks addiction. He's the one that renews minds. He's the one that restores marriages. He's the one that restores relationships. He's the one that forgives. He's the one that changes hearts. It's not just man's wisdom. It's not just great ideas. The problem is that part of the arsenal of tools is good ideas. And it's stuff that we use, and it's biblical, and it's great. But Paul is saying, I want to make sure that when the dust settles, your faith is resting on the power of God. Amen. That your faith is built on the power of God. That your faith here isn't resting on anything other than that. That it's not resting on, well, I'm this denomination. Well, we're not, so we can't say that, but you could be all excited that, well, we're not a denomination. Is that where your faith is resting? I hope not. Or I'm a Christian, or I'm following God because my family does. Yowzers. And our prayer is that that doesn't happen. I pray that that's a doorway. Obviously, we preach on family. We love family. We're passionate about family. One of the great uses, I guess, results of godly families is hopefully that they raise godly kids, right? But there has to come a time where I'm not coming to church, I'm not following God, my faith doesn't rest on my family, my faith rests on the power of God. Or, all right, half of you need to get up and leave now because you're just going to get mad, but I'm a Christian because I'm American. Baloney. You're not going to have a great meeting when you meet Jesus, if that's your thought, right? America doesn't save you any more than that chair does. But we wouldn't probably ever say that out loud. But I'm American and I'm not a Muslim, so I'm a Christian. Paul's saying no. No, 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 no. Your faith needs to rest in the power of God. Or how many of us, all of us probably, at one point or another, our faith has been rooted in a personality. We have a favorite preacher or one of our What if your faith is rooted in your best friend's faith? And you really are serving God and you're rocking and rolling, and all of a sudden your friend has what pretty much so many people have had in 2019. And 2020 has been occupied by other things, but in 2019 there's just this, Stephen and I were going, make it stop. All of these people that were Christ followers that just decide, no, I don't even believe in God anymore. Deconversion, apostasies, whatever word you want to call them, walking away from God. Oh, what are you doing? And if my faith is in one of those people, Paul said, it's got to be in the power of God. Your faith, I want your faith to rest in the power of God, not in human wisdom. I want your faith to rest in the power of God. Everyone take a breath. Next section. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Hold on, let me back up for one more second. I was going to talk about this and then for time's sake, I moved on, but talking about the power of God. Marnie and I talk all the time. Jim, you worked for Lowell Lundstrom for, 10 years maybe, something like that? Marnie has worked for Larry Lundstrom for 23 years or something like that? 22? 23? Yep. I just feel the Lord saying we should stop and just hang out here for a moment. Savor this. In public, too. That was...
I'm so sorry. It's actually 22 because I started in
88. There went your bubble.
I think we're at about 22 and a half.
Right. We're both right. We're both right. You see how long my victories last? Oh, well.
You're rounding up, she's rounding up.
Exactly. So we talk often, and we've had this conversation with Larry and Gloria, that in this 1970s, there was this move of God across this land and throughout these crusades and in the 80s that people would get saved. And they'd get saved. No, they'd get saved. There's people that call now that their grandchildren are serving Jesus because they got saved in a crusade. Not two, not 20, hundreds, probably thousands. They're still walking with God today. Something happened in this moment where these people got saved and their faith rested upon something solid, and generations of their family are serving God now. And that's like, I long for that, guys. I yearn for that, and I want to preach Jesus, and I want to see people make commitments to the Lord, and it's just so disheartening, and I know there's different soils, and I get all that, but I love those seasons and those moments in history where it just seems like God does something and people's lives are different. They can point to a moment, and from that moment on, my life was different. Resting on the power of God. Sean Foyt is going around our nation right now to all these cities, and I don't know, you guys, when we very, 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 very first started doing encounter nights, we don't really do those anymore, but when we first started doing them, I read a book called Fire and Fragrance, and it was written by Sean Foyt and Andy somebody, and that was my introduction to them, to him, and we ran into him out in Chicago when we were out there, and went and saw him in Fargo, and well, now God's using Sean right now to go around the nation. I don't know how many cities they've been to, bunch of them. And right in the middle of riots, and right in the middle of lawlessness, and right in the middle of anger, and right in the middle of chaos, right in the middle of ungodliness, Sean will come in with his anointed group of people, and they'll just seek the heart of the Lord. And people are getting saved, and the power of God is showing up, and demonic influences are being broken off of people's lives. God's doing something fresh and new. And it's the power of God. And I just long for that. Ray and Wilma Phipps, they're one of the missionaries that we support. I talk about them often. But they're about this big. And they're not young. They started their ministry, I think, when he was close to 70. And not start a Bible study in their home. Going to India. And the people there are so hungry to see God do something. So they started out preaching and then found out that people wanted to see the power of God. And now in their probably 80s, they go to India. And guys, listen, look at me. It is not uncommon. It is normal for an entire village to get saved. They'll walk into the village and share they'll come share Jesus Christ, and the whole village will get saved. And they'll go to the next village, and the whole village will get saved. Hundreds of people, thousands of people coming to Christ. Whole villages. Guys, I don't just want fancy words. I don't just want more talking. I want to see the power of God. I want to see the power of God. I say all that so passionately to make the transition here. We read this mostly already. Verse 7, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time. Let me highlight something here. We do, however, said all of that to say this. Paul is turning a corner here. He's opening up their eyes to something. That vision of this victorious church that I was talking about, this idea of this church who's engaging the world, engaging and transparent about the difficulties of life, but yet still walking in victory, not hiding in a corner, and also not just being thrown around by carnal senses. It's right here. We see, I wanted your faith to be built on the power of God. This is the same letter. This is the same church. It's only one sentence further. It's the next sentence. I want your faith to be rooted and grounded on the power of God, not human eloquence and not human wisdom. However, we do however. Say however. We do however. Hold on. Stop. Just wait a minute. However. Don't stop there. Don't stop with an experience with God. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. He's going back to that. We're not just adding Jesus to world's wisdom. Like, guys, there's a deeper message here. There's a depth that you haven't experienced yet. Some of you guys are hung up in the however. You've had this great experience of God. You love when people around you have an experience with God, and you love the things of God. And then, yep, we're however, my life's good right where I'm at. However, there's more. Not removing that foundation of keeping our faith planted on this got to be God or nothing. Yet, I want to mature, and not mature away from the power of God, mature into the power of God. Not mature into Christian smarty pants, but mature into Christian powerhouse guy, right? Walking in the power of God, but now with a maturity and a wisdom that I can engage my world and bring the wisdom of God into people's lives. Bring the wisdom of God, not just, I don't know, right? Guys, we got to get past the however. We experience the power of God, and we're like, yeah, that was a great service. And then how are we maturing? How are we growing? How are we listening for the voice of God? What else are we ingesting? Are we just now right back to carnal senses again? Experiencing God, verse 7 says, no, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that's been hidden. See, we would like God's wisdom to look like our wisdom. Because here's the problem. God's wisdom often runs contrary and cross-grain to what I think is wisdom. And I want to say, God, I don't know if you got the memo, God, but we don't do things like that around here. And God's like, I'm still going to love you, bonehead. Right? You're still serving me, but boy, you are so far from the thriving life because you keep hanging on to worldly wisdom. You keep hanging on to the way that you think things should be done. And Paul's saying, we've got some mysteries here. And things that God destined for our glory. This all insists, same verse here. Guys, if we don't get past the however, if you're just like, yeah, I had a great experience with God, you know, a couple times ago and whatever, when I was younger, and yep. And now you're just doing your thing. You come to church, you go home. You're like, Paul is saying, you guys are stuck in the however. There is a maturity. There is a glory for your life that you're missing out on. You are not going to walk in thriving life if we don't get past this. I kind of had my God thing and I'm good now. No, there's a deeper walk. He's calling you into a deeper walk. You're created for glory. You're created to carry the glory of God. You're created to walk in. You hunger for it. And if you don't scratch that itch with the right thing, it's going to lead you into so many. We're created. We're image bearers that are marred by sin, but we're still created to carry the weight of that glory. And we need to walk in maturity to do that. And we need to change our thinking. And we need to focus on not worldly wisdom, but God's wisdom. And I can see I've got way more slides than we're going to have time for today. So I was worried I was not going to have enough content.
Never been the case.
Stephen laughs at me every time. He's like, you worried about what? So that was kind of the intro. Yep. Yes. Let's just, however. Guys, we've got to escape the however. Like, yeah, you had a good experience with God. You got saved. You've got a phenomenal testimony. Absolutely. God showed up for you last week. Yep. However. There's a freedom and a fruitfulness and a depth and a wisdom and a maturity for your life that you guys have not stepped into, that I haven't stepped into because I'm stuck in the however. Yep, God did good stuff for me. And we want to say that. We want to always have that testimony on our lips. But as part of getting on the other side of the however, like that is really good, and I'm open for 400 more of those next week. However, I'm pressing into the deeper things of God. There's some unfolding. There's some ways of thinking that I've got that God's changing. There's some God wisdom that he's imparting and implanting into my life to give me discernment so that I can walk more fruitful than I ever have before, so that I can see more freedom in my life and your life than we ever have before, so that we can see more answers to the world's problems than we ever have before, so that we can have a now word for now's problems. And you can't do that with yesterday's God encounter. Foundation is built on God's power. However, there's more. Not leaving God's power. We need it every day. God, you got to show up or we're sunk every day. That's still the foundation. The however doesn't leave this place. Getting on the other side of the however never leaves this. Like God, we are totally dependent on you showing up in my life, in my mind, in my family, in my dreams, in my hopes, in my devotions, in my workplace, in my church. That's what I'm planted on. However, when you do show up, I don't want to stop there. I want to go deeper. I want to have you change the things in my heart and in my life that are limiting the things of God. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for the other side of the however today. Thank you, Jesus, that you've invited us into a maturity and into the mysteries of God and into the things of God that are contrary to the world system. Help us to not get stuck in world thinking and adding Jesus on top of it. Help us to see your wisdom for what it is. We ask for a hunger for more. In Jesus' name, amen.